Well, Pastor's not here, as you could tell, although it's kind of funny because he was texting Matt and I at 10:30 saying, one of you guys has to get the service started. I'm like, how does he know that? Well, that's because the last time he wasn't here, neither one of us took the initiative to actually start things. So I guess he wanted to make sure that it actually got started today. So we're all good. But as you know, he's not here today. He's on vacation. You continue to pray for him and his family while they're away. But he had asked Tote to come up and to preach today. And before he came up, I'm sure if you've been here more than 1 week, you've recognized that he's here, but you might not know who he is. So I want to give a little bit of an introduction about how I got to know him. He and I met in 2002 we were coaching Baptist Regional's soccer team at the time, the girls' team. And so we spent 6 years together as coaching that team and then the boys' team there for 2 years. But we developed a friendship outside of that. And in fact, one of the churches in the area has an outdoor soccer league, and we've played on that team together for quite a few number of years. And so over the years, we've done things together. We've seen each other and done different things. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know that he's a dear friend of mine. He and his family, we've gotten even to know them better since they've been here. We thank God for that, that the Lord has brought them here. And so he's this guy, he's going to stand up, and you guys are going to be like, am I going to understand him? You know what? He says the same thing about you. Is he going to understand you guys? So we're all on the same page. So you'll notice that he has an accent. Listen carefully, because his heart's going to come out today. He's a man that I'm very, very glad to call my friend. In fact, most of the time when we text each other, it starts out as my friend. And I mean that in all sincerity. Tote, come and preach today.
Well, I'm truly blessed to be here this morning. I was praying for this not to happen. The Lord is good. I'm thankful for what the Lord has done, me and my family. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to Pastor Bill for the opportunity. For all of you, how welcome you have been. As we'll continue with today with a series Unstuck, as Pastor Bill shared with me weeks ago about covering up for him as he was on vacation. Obviously, this was a week. And we have not even discussed the series of what was going on or what was coming ahead. And when that came up, it came up that it came, the title was, according to, you know, 1 John, is Trust the Process. As soon as I said that, I was like, And him and I have a little bit of a talk on how it's amazing what the Lord does. Because we talked that beforehand, and now we see how the Lord brings that. And he was sharing with me how he thought the Lord prepared that for me. And I agree 100%. Because it hits home. This one hits home. And just so you know, I'm not normally this way. I'm not normally not this emotional, but hopefully that will communicate a little bit that what I'm seeing here is what the Lord has spoken to my life. Do you truly trust the process? So let's pray and let's ask the Lord for direction. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to freely open your word and see what you have for us. Lord, I pray that today you may speak to our hearts, that you may open the eyes of our hearts and of our minds, and you may speak to us according to our need. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, I saw a picture. I thought it was funny. I sent it to my wife. And there was a picture of some type of a place, a store or some sort of maybe a career place, that it says your success starts here, right? And right under it, there was another sign that said, "Do not enter." And that is the way, the reason I sent it to her, because it was funny, but actually, sometimes in my life, that is the way it feels. I'm like, okay, never mind. I have seen several pictures similar to that. Right, especially probably some of you have seen those pictures on Monday. You know, somebody doing something cool and then something happened, they fell, and then they put Monday, right? Like that is the weekend, everything cool. Then Monday, you just, wow, here it comes, and it hits you like a train. And the reality is that sometimes we are like that. Right? We may be in a situation in our life that we just say, "Lord, what are you doing?" And we feel stuck. We feel stuck in these situations that we don't understand. Maybe it's at work. You know, maybe we have worked hard to advance in a place of work and it just doesn't seem to happen. Everything we do, it just doesn't go anywhere. Either our boss hates us. Maybe it's just simply the fact that there is another guy that has been there less time than you and they'd rather pay the guy that, you know, earns less than you. And there you are stuck. Now what? Maybe it's your house. Maybe it's in your marriage. And there just everything just hits you. And then we are there. Now what? Lord, what are you doing? So let's go to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to read a couple verses here. Then we're going to go to another passage of Scripture to just talk a little more about it. John chapter 3. And I'm just going to start, first of all, right, and then this is from last week. In John chapter 2, verse 1, if you have it there, it says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." So here, John is writing and he's saying, okay, listen, this is the reason I'm writing to you. This is the reason I'm saying these things to you, so you do not sin. To avoid that. But if you have sin, don't worry. We have somebody that is coming ahead of us, speaking to the Father. So if so far we have not trusted that process, if we have responded in a way that probably is not the way God wants us to respond, well, don't worry. We have somebody that is ahead of us. And then he goes into chapter 3 and continues. Right? And he says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." So first thing, then he continues. He said, well, listen, let's put something clear. How great is his love that we are called children of God? And that is what we are. And look, it said, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will has not yet to be made known. And I want to just mention these verses real quick. It's because this is something that he wants to establish first. Right, as he's going to deal with this issue of trust in the process, he wants us to know and say, listen, you need to understand the first thing is how much God has loved us that we are called children of God. So now we are children of God. So when he's talking about here, he's not discussing salvation. This is not to see, hey, are you really or are you not? So, no, we are. Let's put that clearly on the table. We are children of God. And now, because we are children of God, then this is what we need to do. And we're going to go to chapter 3, right there on verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. Right? We should love one another. Simple, right? Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has not pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. You see, he's talking about, and he said, there is one thing, right? One commandment from the beginning, love one another. And then he says, do not be like Cain, who murdered his brother. So he's giving the example of somebody whose life wasn't going well, that he felt there was injustice going on. What he does, he takes matters on his own hands. He said, no, listen, that is not of God. He said, because what is it if we said we love our brothers, but we don't show it? Right, so there's somebody who did not trust the process, who did not trust what God is doing, and said, you know what? I'm going to do it my way. And he goes and said, that is not the way to go. He said, the true way that you show that you are children of God is how you respond. It's by loving. And you know what? Let me tell you. I can go on and on to you about all the things going on in my life. About work. About all the situations financially, all these pressures, and this needs to be paid, and this needs to... And it just hits you one after another. And I'm going to take the time, when I was reading this, there was somebody that always came to my mind. And that is what we're going to pass the rest of the time. And it's probably many of you have heard of him. I know his story. But we're going to see a few of the things, of the characteristics of him. Let's go to Job, after the book of Job. Right before Psalms, if you can find Psalms, right almost about in the middle. And right before we read about Job, I'm just going to share. This is a story that I heard long ago. I believe it's not a true story, at least not all of it, I would think. But I think it really explains very well what is happening here. Right? There was a story of this man, you know, the stunt man, a daredevil, who one day he said, you know what, I'm going to do something for my next time. I'm going to put a wire between two buildings, several stories high, and I'm going to cross several times. So he does that. He puts the wires. The day comes, and he's ready to go, right? So he before he goes, he asks to the people, let's say, how many of you think I can do this, right? So they have seen him do several other stunts, but nothing close to this. So some of them are a little, you know, weird, like, is this guy, I'm going to see something bad here, something that I'm going to see in the news later. So maybe a few people kind of raise their hand, is like, okay, go ahead, Right? So he goes, and then he crosses. And then he goes out again and said, how many of you think I can go back? But this time I'm going to be blindfolded. Like, whoa. Same people, some of them a little skeptical about it. Like, okay, go ahead. And then he blindfolds himself. And then he goes. And he crosses over. So now there's some excitement. Like, whoa, this guy's for real. Right? Then he goes and said, okay, how many of you think I can do this again? But this time, I'm going to be pushing a wheelbarrow. So now this time it's a little more excitement. So some of them are, yes, yes, let's go. Let's see that. Right? So he goes, he grabs the wheelbarrow, blindfolded, he crosses over. Oh, everybody's going nuts. Right? Oh, this guy is good. And then he said, okay, for my last time, I'm going to do this. And how many things I can do it with somebody in the wheelbarrow? Everybody's like, yeah, I want to see that. He said, okay, I need a volunteer. Ooh. All that to say, right? Probably if we are asked, do we trust God? Do we trust the process? Yes, yes. Get on the wheelbarrow. Ooh. No, Lord. Are you sure? I don't know if that sounds right to me, Lord. What you're doing right now, it doesn't seem like you're really in control. So if we are asked, the easy answer is yes, I trust God. I know what he's doing. But maybe the way we're responding in today, say, get on the wheelbarrow. I'm good over here. I don't know if what you're doing is right, Lord. You know what? Maybe I think you fell asleep on this one. So then we're going to look at the life of somebody who trusted the Lord and trusted the process. And when everything was going completely wrong, he responded in love, as we're saying on 1 John 3. And that is the life of Job. And we're going to see some of the characteristics of a heart that trusts the process. And we said we're going to read, we're going to be skipping a lot, but hopefully you can follow me. Job chapter 1, it says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke and oxen and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. Right? Here is the Bill Gates of the time. Right? He has everything. And he said he was righteous. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they will invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Basically, what happened is most likely, because other versions it says on their day, they will host this feast. It gives the idea that most likely during their birthday, they will hold this big feast. I don't know how many days, but they will party, basically. Right? And it says that they will invite each other, and they will have a good time. And it says that at the end, when they were done, Job will go and offer sacrifice for them. Just in case, it says. So maybe my kids have sinned. Maybe they got a little wild. Maybe they got one too much and did something they didn't should do. So he went and offered sacrifice. It says one day on Job chapter 1 verse 6, says one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered to the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Right? He sounded like a teenage boy. Hey, where have you been? What have you been doing? Stuff. Good. Right? But right here we see something that it looks like that is something that happened constantly. People come to, these angels come to give report, and then he comes along, Satan, and he has to give report too, right? So that is one thing that we have to always remember. He has to answer to the King of Kings. Said, hey, what you been doing? And he thinks he's smart. Hey, I'm just going here, yeah, just walking. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blaming and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. See, so God says, hey, have you seen my man Job? Look at him, right? He fears me. On you roaming around, on your Jew stuff, how you pay attention to this guy? Verse 9, Satan responds, does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put an edge around him and has his soul and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so these flocks and herds are spread through the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Right? Now Satan thinks he's smart. I said, oh, of course. You give him everything. Everything is going well for him. Right? How easy is that? But yeah, but look. Go do something to him. Let him something bad happen to him, and you see how quick he turns. Right? I think he tried to fool God. And the Lord says, to Satan, verse 12, very well. Then everything he has in your hand, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. But go ahead. Now, if I'm Job and I'm listening to this, I will be like, yo, whoa, what's going on here? Right? Say, Lord, I thought I was your boy. I thought you said I was good. Right? What you mean? Like, go ahead. I thought we were together under this though. Probably that would be my response to him. But the Lord said, go ahead. Then the Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And that is when everything goes bad. If you think everything in your life is going bad, just listen to what happened to him. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Basically, all that you have is gone. Even your servants. While he was still speaking, so this guy is not even done telling him all the bad things that happened, said another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. Wow. While he was still speaking, well, he's not done. Another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raging parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. And 18, while he was still speaking, like, if I'm Job, it's like, now what? Yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in front of the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and then they're dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. I don't know you, but I read that and I said, what I'm going through, that's nothing. Here's a guy who has everything, and all of a sudden, he's all swept away. Even his sons. Everything is gone. The only thing he has left is his wife, unfortunately. If you know the story, you know what I'm talking about. I can only imagine a little bit how this happened, right? Here comes Satan and takes everything away. And while he's still, you know, everything happened and he's still speaking, when one of the servants still speaking, another one comes, and then when it comes to the son, everything is stopped there. I can only imagine maybe one of the demons coming to Satan and say, Satan, Mr. Satan, yes? The wife is still alive. He goes, I know. Watch he's going to say. Just wait. This is going to be great. And later on it says that while he's there suffering, the wife comes and tells him, you know what? Just curse God and die. Now, in all honesty, I've been joking around, but we need to give her a break too. She lost everything as well. But in everything, the person closest to him, the people that you think should have your back, they turn you. On top of everything he has lost, now he has marriage problems. Let's see how he responded. Verse 20 of chapter 1. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Wow. You see, there is the example of somebody who responds in love. After all that is going on through him, somebody who is trusting the process. And what I see here, and the thing that I want to share is that a heart that trusts the process is a heart that is grateful. Because to trust the process, you need to be grateful. You need to understand, we need to understand who he is and what he has done. He goes and says, listen, I came naked to this world, I'm going to live naked. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who takes it away. May his name be praised. The reason he responded that way is because he had a grateful heart. He understood who God is and what God has done. That whatever he had to this point, it was not because of him. It's not because of his, you know, his good, smart ideas on the stock market. It's not because how amazing of a businessman he was. He said, the Lord is the one who gives. The Lord, he takes away. So he was a grateful heart for what God has given. You see, probably he would start thinking of all the hard, how hard did I work to do this? I worked so hard to be here and look where I am. God is not fair. I don't know you, but that is sometimes the way my heart tends to go. Because my heart is not grateful. You know, it reminds me a little bit when I was in it was years ago, right? I believe, I'm trying to remember, probably Sammy will be around 3-4 years old. Kayla will be 1 or 2. And we went down to the beach. And we were walking around, and when we got this big bucket of popcorn. I don't know if you ever got this Johnson's popcorn. Yeah, amen. It's good that I'm mentioning that right now before lunch, right? Now nobody's going to pay attention. But we got this big bucket of popcorn, right? So they're giving you so much that they even give it inside a bag. So we're walking around in the stroller. The kids are in the stroller. And I remember we give the bucket, I believe it was Sammy, for him to eat. So he's as happy as he can be, right? Going at the popcorn. So I go trying to be fine and said, hey, can I have some? So he goes and gives me one popcorn. Thanks, buddy. Obviously, I'm talking about a kid. But you know, but in reality, when I can think about it, it's like, hey, who got you the popcorn? The popcorn is mine, right? And sometimes we do that with God. Maybe God is like, hey, what can I have? And we just give him like the little, hey, here you go, God. When the Lord said, hey, I'm the one who gave you that. Whatever you have, whatever has happened so far, is me. And we forget that. And Job didn't forget that. And it's a heart that is thankful for what the Lord has done. And then and he continues, and again, we're going to, right there on chapter 2, what started happening is, another day the angels came to the presence of Saul before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. So here comes Satan to give report again, right? And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the air and going back and forth in it. Yeah, stuff. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright. I mean, who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity through you inside me against him to ruin him without any reason. He responds, right? Skin for skin, Satan replied. A man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. Right now, Satan goes to the city of... Of course, right? The problem is that you have not touched him. Now, touch him, and you see how quick he turns against you. The Lord said, go ahead. Just spare his life. Basically, don't. Your life is not for him to take. So then he goes, right? Satan went out of the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. And here comes the part, right? His wife said to him, are you still holding on your integrity? Who's going to die? He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Should we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Here he goes. Right? Now he had these sores from head to toe. He's crushing himself with some piety, trying to give himself some relief. Now, I don't know how many of you have slept somewhere with a mosquito flying around your head. And then he gets you a couple times. Now imagine this guy. He had no relief. And then he goes, and again, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but the rest of the book, basically, he has now three friends showed up. Right there it says. three friends showed up, and these three friends sat with him, said for 7 days, and nobody said a word. I mean, they're so stunned of what they're seeing that they just sat there. And finally, and as you, if you later on want to take the time to read, when he goes into the next chapters, then some of his friends start talking to Job. And he start replying. But basically what these three friends are doing, what they start doing is saying to him, say, well, listen, God doesn't give bad things to good people. Something must be wrong. Right? So now here are his friends saying to him, hey, listen, if this is happening to you, what did you do? Like, it's just not right. So on top of all this, on top of everything, now his friends are saying, well, all this happened to you because you did something wrong. And he tried to reply to them. And I don't know you, but one of the hardest things when everything is going wrong is when the people that you think should have your back are the first one to turn it against you. And all of a sudden, you are the bad one. You deserve it. You did something wrong. And here's Job dealing with all that, sitting there in pain. And on chapter 17, he told you a little bit of his heart. Chapter 17, verse 1 says, my spirit is broken. My days are cut short. The grave awaits me. Wow. Now, he has touched bottom. He sees no hope. He says, I'm broken here. All this has happened to me. My wife is telling me to curse God and die. Now my friends, my closest friends are telling me this is my fault. Hey, I'm broken. Have you ever felt that way? When just life is just beating you down. And when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you feel that is not the exit. That is just a train coming at you. How you feel that way? I do. I can go on and on and tell you all the different ways. But you just don't see an end. And you start saying, God, are you really there? God, are you sure? I mean, yes, I trust you, but I think you got it wrong here, God. One of the things that I have shared with Pastor Bill and Jamie and a few others, a little bit where my heart is that I think sometimes my head knows what is right. My head knows what I'm supposed to be doing. My head knows that God is in control. My head knows, but my heart is falling way behind. And says, God, I don't know. I don't know here. And that is the way this guy is. He's to the end. I said, God, I'm broken. The grave is awaits me. I'm like just, and then he goes in chapter 17 and said, "Hey, better wouldn't be for me to even be born." And the whole thing continues. If you continue going, right? He's broken. He's trying to tell his friends, hey, just give me a break. I'm broken. Please. And they continue. Right? No, Job. You better repent of whatever you have done. And then in chapter 38, the Lord finally responds to Job. Finally, after all this, after Job is wondering what's going on, when he says, God, what are you doing here? I'm broken. I can deal with this anymore. Then the Lord answered to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Bless yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? So now what the Lord is asking Job. Hey, Job, where were you? Tell me if you understand. Who mark off his dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretch a measure line across it? And then he goes on and on and goes and says, Job, answer me. If you know everything, if you are so sure, you tell me. Hey, Job, who told the oceans, and that is what the song comes from, right? But who told the ocean, this is how far you go? Who was it? Where were you when I all these things, where I established everything is going around? Job, where were you? Now, I don't know you, but I always struggle with that. Because I always said, why is the Lord going that way? I mean, wouldn't it be better and easier if the Lord were to tell Job, hey, Job, listen, this is what happened. Satan came to me telling me that if I put my hand against you, you will curse me. And I told him that you are my boy, right? Wouldn't that be easier? I mean, if I would be Job, and I would be happy with that answer. Right? This is happening because the Lord thinks that I can handle it. Because actually all this started because the Lord started boasting about me. Wow. But the Lord doesn't say that. The Lord doesn't say a word. Instead, he's trying to tell him, say, Job, where were you when I laid the earth? Where were you? He tried to remind him, as like, Job, who's in charge here? So sometimes to trust the process is to trust who is in charge. Is to trust that he is the one who is in charge, not me. And in chapter 42, then Job replied to the Lord, I know you can all do all these things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Verse 5, my eyes have heard you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. You see, he goes and understands you are in charge. And you know, see, because when God calls us to trust the process, it doesn't necessarily cause us to understand the process. Because what we see, God never tells Job what's going on. Maybe until he didn't go to heaven, he never knew what was going on in the background. So he never understood. So God, when God calls us to trust, it doesn't mean to understand. And I think that a lot of times we try to go through these trials and this process and these things, and we just want to know. Lord, if you tell me, then this will be easier. Well, of course it will be, but you see, do we really trust the process? Do we really trust the one who is in charge? And I'm going to finish with Psalm 73. Just so you know, you can read it later as you see. After Job comes to that point on understanding and realizing, hey, you are in charge. You see, my eye has seen you, but now my heart knows you. See, his heart came to a point, it is what I need my heart to be. When I said that comment to several people, that was my answer. When I said, hey, my head knows. My head knows him. What I need now is my heart to see him. To see that he's good. That he's in charge. And he never lost control. Even when it seems that way. When it seems that God really left me out there. And I feel like Job and said, I'm just ready to die. Lord, just, I'm done. And we said that when he got to that point, said that the Lord restored everything he had. And he even doubled everything. Now, please don't think that in every situation it necessarily means that some financial or some way that the Lord is going to change everything. But in Job's case, he did. And he said at the end that until the end, Job maintained his integrity. And he did not sin with his lip. And just to finish, Psalm 73. And I'm just going to finish with this because maybe you have been like me. Maybe you have not responded in the same way as Job. Maybe as life has just hitting you hard, maybe it's either financial, it's either with our home and at our work, with our family, whatever it is, maybe we have not responded the way we should be in love and trusting. So now what then? Okay, so far I'm far. Maybe you are like me. Maybe your head knows, but your heart is way over here. And I said, okay, my head knows. If you tell me I trust God, yes. Do you trust the process? Absolutely, yes. Okay, get on the wheelbarrow. Yeah, no, I'm good over here. Right? I don't think you got it, God. Psalm 73 says, this is a guy that is on the same place. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You see, he sees that everything is going wrong. They are free from the burdens common to men. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Right? So he sees injustice. He sees things that are going wrong. And it seems like everything goes well for them. And they say pride is their necklace. It's like, hey, look at me. Right? It's almost like the opposite of what is going with Job and his friends. Job, his friends are telling him, hey, if this is happening to you, well, you did something wrong. There is no other explanation, right? Well, in this case, he feels the other way because these people feel the other way, right? Look, if all this is going great, it means that what we're doing is not bad after all, right? They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits on their minds knows no limit. So this is what he's seeing. He's seeing just evil people and they just prosper. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouth lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They said, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? See, he's on that place, on that same place. God, do you see? Do you really know what's going on here? Do you see my life, Lord, lately? I mean, I know I may not be the best Christian around, but hey, it just looked like I just fell through the cracks. That is the way he feels, right? How can God know? God, do you know really? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree. They increase in wealth. And look what he says. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocent. See? What do I do all this for? Why do I try to come to church? Why do I try to serve? Why do I try? It doesn't matter. Right? That is the way he's feeling. So here's somebody that in opposite to Job is responding, not in love, but in sin. The way I know I have responded. So you know what? It doesn't matter. All that I have done, all I have tried to do is the right thing, and look where it took me. Lord, I think you got it wrong here. It doesn't matter. I did it in vain. I'm done. Even later on the same verse, in the same chapter, it says that, I lost it. Oh, verse 21, when my heart was grieved and my spirit unbearing, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brood beast before you. You see, that is what, to the point that his heart went. His heart was so much with anger against the Lord that he said, I was like a beast. Like I know no sense. I don't care about nothing. Lord, you got it wrong. Lord, you. That is the way he felt. This is the way, that is where his heart was. His head over here, his heart over here. Because you see, if you remember chapter 1, it says, surely God is good to Israel. Right? So he knows, his head knows, God is good. My head knows that. My heart is like a beast. God, what are you doing? Verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. You see, he tried to understand, not like Job, right, who trusts without understanding what was going on. He said, I tried to understand, I tried to find an explanation, and it just overwhelmed me. And this is the part that I want to share with you. This is where his heart was. This is, he just going down. He was stuck, right? He was stuck. He was not trusting the process. He was not trusting who was in charge. He felt everything was doing wrong, and it's not even worth it. It's in vain what I have done. I try to understand, and it just doesn't make sense to me. And then it says, verse 17, till I enter the sanctuary of God. So all this one going wrong, said, until I enter his sanctuary. So a heart that trusts the process, if you have not done so far, it's a heart that comes back in communion with the Lord. because he says, all these didn't make sense. I was lost till I entered the sanctuary. So then I understood. And you know what? That what I like it is that it doesn't say, till you change my situation. Or if somebody is the cause of that pain, until you got them back. Going back to Job a little bit, there is no using some of the people that caused pain on his life. It's other people around them that came, took his stuff, and killed his servants. So Job was not expecting God to get them back. And if you remember, Pastor Bill was preaching last week, you know, who was it that he went into the fish class? Remember? Jonah? Yes, yes, paying attention. Good. So he didn't mention this, but if you keep reading, you see that after he came and proclaimed and said, repent, the scripture said that he went back and he went to a hill, and then he put himself comfortable and grabbed himself some popcorn, something that Johnson popcorn, yeah, he grabbed some, and he was there sitting waiting for the Lord to strike Nineveh. Said, here you go, this is going to be good. The Lord is going to get them. And if you remember, he was sharing how in his life, these people were the source of pain. And he was there. It's like, yeah, Lord, go ahead. Strike them. Then probably in his heart, he's thinking, then we're going to be good. Then I'm going to know God is good, right? God is going to get them back. Go ahead, Lord. Get them. And sometimes that's the way we think. That's the way I think. Well, if the Lord changed this, then I understand. Well, if the Lord takes care of my boss, who's been a pain in the neck, who's making my life miserable, then I can say God is good. Then my heart can go from here to here. But that is not what happened here. You know, see, the person who wrote the psalm, writing about all the terrible things that is going on, he says, then all the evil people got struck and died. Then I knew God was good. It says, till I enter the sanctuary of God. He need to come back to remember God is good. God is in control. And I need to trust him. I need to be in communion with him. One of the things that I liked is that when Job, as soon as he heard all this, he said that he tore up his robe and he lay down and worshiped. How many times have we worshiped God when everything is going wrong? For me, it's quite easy to complain. Actually, that comes just without even any effort. It just comes out. But he comes down and worships. And he comes, the person who wrote the psalm says, till I came into his sanctuary. And maybe if we have responded so far to whatever is going on in our life, we have responded in the wrong way, then we need to come back to his sanctuary. And we need to forget and try to think that God is going to change my situation, so then I will understand. No, you need to come back to sanctuary. You need to come back to him, knowing that he is good. So my prayer is, as we go here and then continue, if we are stuck in some way in our life, if my heart is stuck over here, when it should be over here, is that we come back to his sanctuary. That we come back to remember that he is good. Come back to a grateful heart. He said, hey, the Lord give, the Lord taken away. May his name be blessed. It's easy to say that when everything goes good. Right? That's what Satan says. Hey, of course, right? You give him everything. Narcissist. So the last thing I want to mention is that if you get your series today for this week, there's something I want to challenge you. And something that I learned and the Lord worked on my life a few years ago. When I do something like this, right, I was very good at coming up with conclusions. I was an expert, right? But I was going to challenge you that instead of coming out with conclusions of what I should do, is to come with actions of what I'm going to do. Right? Because as you asking the questions, right, it's very easy to say, oh, I should be doing good. I should be responding in love. Good, closer, I'm done, right? And put it there on the shelf, and I'm done. Oh, yeah, well, when something goes wrong, yeah, I should trust in God. The end. That is a conclusion. But rather, to make this more personable, is to come and say, hey, I know in this situation, so far, I have responded in the wrong way. I know that I have done this and I have done that. So instead, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. So I would challenge you as you do this week to try to pass ahead the conclusion and really go ahead and say, how can God change my life? How can God? And at the end, you will see there is a part when we can prayer request. And the prayer request is for situations that we may feel stuck in our life. And one of the challenges is not to pray that God will change the situation, but it's for God to change my heart. To come to a heart that comes into his sanctuary and say, God, you're good. Regardless of what is going on, you're good. And you have given, you have taken away, may you name be blessed. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of a godly man that in the middle of all the awful things that happened to him, he responded in love. He trusted in you. He trusted in the process. He trusted in the one directing his life. Even when things didn't go well and when he didn't understand. Lord, I pray for myself, for each person in this room, and the different things that are going in our life that we may feel stuck. Lord, that we may come to a heart that trusts you, that we can come back into your sanctuary and trust that you are in control, even when to our eyes it seems that you're not. Lord, let us go back to a place of worship, a place that trusts you, a place that is grateful for what you have done and give us so far. Lord, we thank you and we pray in your name. Amen.